Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome again to Food for the Journey. Today we look ahead to Sunday, March 5th, for the readings for the first Sunday of Lent. I call this, in an abbreviated form, Temptation Sunday, and I don't mean that we're tempted, but these are the readings that speak of the Lord's temptation, the temptation that God experiences, and the temptation that man experiences. And I think it's very important for us to look at ourselves to what tempts us to go astray. What tempts us to move off the path? What temptations do we yield to that make us feel shame? God wants to set us free. God wants to strengthen our will to choose the good and to avoid the evil. And the temptations come to make us choose the evil and avoid the good. That's what happens in a temptation. And if we could stand back from it and look at it objectively, we'd realize that that's what's happening, which is something that the devil loves. If the devil can love anything, he loves seeing us fall. And I pray that during this Lenten season, both you may come to a deeper self-understanding of what tempts me. Where do I most quickly give in? Where do I yield to sin? And then to take a look at Jesus, who's gone before us, experienced temptations, tremendous temptations. And we're going to read about that in today's gospel. So what I want to encourage you today is look at these readings in light of and pay attention to what are the sources of temptation for you. Not just this little thing or that little thing, but what are the roots? What is it in you that yields to a temptation? Where are you weak? Where are you in need of strength or of wisdom? So let's look at these readings with those kinds of questions in mind. The first reading is from the book of Genesis, chapter 2, verses 7 to 9, and then chapter 3, verses 1 to 7. The Lord God formed man out of the clay of the ground and blew into his nostrils the breath of life. And so man became a living being. And then the Lord God planted a garden in Eden in the east and placed there the man whom he had formed. Out of the ground, the Lord God made various trees go that were delightful to look at and good for food, with the tree of life in the middle of the garden and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now the serpent was the most cunning of all the animals that the Lord God had made. And the serpent asked the woman, "Did God really tell you?" Did you ever hear that voice inside yourself? Do you really? Are you really not going to give in to this? This is really good, and you're going to enjoy this. You're going to like this. Haven't you heard that kind of a cunning whisper in your ear? The serpent was the most cunning of all the animals that the Lord God had made, and the serpent asked the woman, "Did God really tell you not to eat from any of the trees in the garden?" And the woman answered the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden. It's only about the fruit of the tree in the middle of the garden that God said, 'You shall not eat it or even touch it, lest you die.'" So look, they had all other kinds of trees there with gorgeous fruit that she could eat. There was only one tree they were asked not to touch. And what does our human nature do? "Well, why can't I touch that? Well, I like that one best. Well, I want that one." Isn't that our selfishness? Of course it is. But the serpent said to the woman, "You most certainly will not die. No, God knows well that the moment you eat of it, your eyes will be open and you will be like gods, who knows what is good and what is evil." In other words, God is jealous of you and he doesn't want you to eat that, because if you eat the fruit of that tree, you're going to be strong like he is, and you're going to be big and you're going to be important and you're going to be almighty. Do you see how the devil works with us? He reverses the reality of what God wants for us. He reverses it. But he's cunning And he's clever. He knows where our weaknesses are. And he goes after them. The woman saw that the tree was good for food, pleasing to the eyes, and desirable for gaining wisdom. So she looks at the tree a little more. First, God had told her, you can have eat the fruit of any tree in this garden except this one tree. Don't touch it. And what does she do? She gets a longing for that. Isn't it true when we're told we can have all of this, but just not that, that we look at the what we're not supposed to have, and we begin to long for it, and we begin to rationalize within ourselves, why can't I try that? I know how to control myself. Why can't I? No. You see how he gets us. It's insidious, and it works. So the woman saw that the tree was good for food, pleasing to the eyes, and desirable for gaining wisdom. So she took some of its fruit, and she ate it. And she also gave some to her husband. So she didn't just stop with her disobedience. She turns to the one other person she has, because he was with her there, and he ate it. He gave in to her. Did he argue? Did he fight? We don't know. But he gave in. And then the eyes of both of them were open. In other words, suddenly they saw clearly. They realized how they had been duped. They realized that they were naked. Before that, they had looked one another without lust. But now, they realized that they were naked. So lust enters into the picture. So they sewed fig leaves together and made loincloths for themselves. Indication of the fall. Before the fall, all was good and true and beautiful. Now, since the fall, those lustful desires, selfish desires, cravings for this and that come upon us and can control us after a while. And here are these two beautiful creatures, man and woman. They were only asked not to eat of the fruit of one tree. They rationalized and ate it. How often we do that. And so this is where the powerful Psalm 51, make this one of the psalms you really read during Lent. Be merciful, O Lord, for we have sinned. I pray that many times. I pray it every day for a stretch, for a period of time. Be merciful, O God, for we have sinned. In your goodness, have mercy. In the greatness of your compassion, wipe out my offense. Thoroughly wash me from my guilt. Of my sin, cleanse me. For I acknowledge my offense. Be honest. I acknowledge my offense. Don't be afraid to acknowledge it. You're actually set free. You're not burdened more. You're actually set free. And Paul to the Romans, brothers and sisters, through one man sin entered the world, and through sin death, and thus death came to all men, inasmuch as all sin. When Adam and Eve sinned, death came into the world. I really urge you, my time on this program is short, and I want to take a look at the Gospel of Matthew. I really ask you to read this section of Romans, to see that what God did for us, God's death on the cross, brought acquittal and life. We who were under condemnation received life through the death of Christ on the cross. We received acquittal, and life came to us. Brothers and sisters, let us during this Lenten season be grateful to God. We don't even grasp what he has done for us. But ask God's Holy Spirit to open your heart to recognize more and to have a greater gratitude to your Savior for what he spared you from. We have to cooperate with that grace, but it's there for us now. The door is open. And the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 4, verses 1 to 11. At that time, Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. He fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, and afterwards he was hungry. The tempter approached and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become loaves of bread." And he said in reply, "It is written, one does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes forth from the mouth of God." So Jesus answers his tempter with scripture. Learn that lesson. Wherever you're most likely to be tempted, look up the scripture passages that tie into that. And when you're tempted, pray the scripture. There's power in that word. And then the devil took him to the holy city and made him stand on the parapet of the temple and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and with their hands they will support you, lest you dash your foot against a stone." And Jesus answered him, "Again it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." So Jesus answers the tempter with scripture. Learn that. Take time. Look the scripture passages, as I said, that deal with your own particular area where you most quickly fall, easily give in, or where the battle is the fiercest for you. Get the scripture passages that tie into that. And then the devil took him up to a very high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in their magnificence, and he said to him, "All these I shall give to you if you will prostrate yourself and worship me." Brothers and sisters, that's what the devil's doing with us all the time. He's trying to use the things of this world to so entice us that eventually we're captured by the world and we turn away from God. "All these things I will give you if you prostrate yourself and worship me." Do you hear the jealousy of Satan? He's trying to get followers of Christ to turn away from Christ and follow him. Don't ever treat your temptations as a small thing. It's part of a grand plan that Satan has. He will not succeed. But in the process, he can take down a lot of people permanently. We see it all over with addictions in many cases and in many other things. Satan will try to bind you by telling you you're going to be free now if you do this or that. You're going to have power and prestige if you do this. And then you find yourself crippled. You find yourself paralyzed. You find yourself almost destroyed. Satan will entice, but his way never leads to life. And that's what Jesus is showing us. And Satan says to Jesus, "All these I shall give to you if you will prostrate yourself and worship me." At this, Jesus said to him, "Get away, Satan. The Lord your God shall you worship. Him alone shall you serve." That's what we need to do. Just what Jesus is doing there. Take scripture and answer the enemy and then walk away. Don't engage in any discussion. The thoughts are in your head, but the thoughts come from the devil often, because he's trying to steal you from the kingdom. Acknowledge that. It is rather dramatic. It's truthfully dramatic. Take authority over it. Command it to be gone. Give your life to Jesus Christ. God bless you. All of us at one time or another in our lives have to endure suffering. How do we suffer as a disciple of Christ? For a free copy of my booklet, Hope in the Midst of Suffering, please call our toll-free 800 number, 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789.